1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. I'll go ahead and read verse 19 as well. Where Paul says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless our thoughts tonight. Father in heaven, we bring our hearts to you, Lord. We bring our minds and our thoughts to you this evening. Father, those things that might crowd in and creep in, Father, and distract us from thinking everything that we might receive and everything that we might focus upon, Lord, that we might receive from your hand, Father, tonight, from your word and this time of fellowship. I pray that you would help us. Guard our thoughts, guard our hearts, Father, as we consider your word and your presence among us, teaching us that word. Bless us this evening, I pray, and strengthen us, encourage us in it, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Focusing there in verse 20 on that word glorify, you know, we use a number of, well, I kind of consider them church words, in the church setting and amongst those people that we fellowship with, that we don't use very often just in day-to-day life. Words like salvation, I mean, we talk about being saved from different things, but salvation's not something that comes up just in secular conversation. Certainly, if we're witnessing to someone, that word would come in, but you don't typically talk about, oh, you know, someone's rescued from a burning building. It was a great salvation that was there. No, it's a rescue that took place. Propitiation, that's one that's not presented a whole lot. There are other ones like that. And I suppose this word, I kind of lump in this word glorify, glorification, or glorying in with those things. Now, we certainly use the word, and we use it more often than we would say propitiation. We would use it in different contexts, though. I don't like this movie because it glorifies violence, we might say. Or we might try to insult someone by saying that they're just a glorified insert small position in that space. You know, we use it in that context. We don't typically use it as it is presented in Scripture and how we use it in church, where it means to bestow honor upon somebody. Let's go glorify him for his retirement. Let's go bring glory. That's not what we typically say. To bestow honor or admiration upon someone, or to extol. Not used in our day-to-day very often, but saints, we do say it here, and in church it's a word that we pray, it's a word that we sing. In my life, Lord, be glorified. Be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today. Didn't sing it as a chorus today, but that's one we sing oftentimes. Be glorified. Be extolled. Be admired. Be honored. Be worshipped in my life. And rightly so. We should desire. We should wish. We should purpose ourselves and intend that God be glorified, honored, extolled, and all of those things. We understand this. Nothing new for you this evening. But just a reminder, if it wasn't obvious that God should be glorified, that he should be extolled as our creator, as our savior, as just being the almighty being, the only almighty being in existence, and almighty being simply all-powerful, power in every piece of him, all power belongs to him. He's our redeemer. On a more tender note, he's our counselor. He's our everlasting Father, we understand. He's our strength. He's our help. All of those things. He is our peace. I could go on and on talking about who he is. If it wasn't obvious that the one who is all of those things should be extolled, should be glorified, his word makes it plain to us. Paul speaks to us that it's part of the Christian experience, that our intent and purpose should be to glorify God. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you, he says in Romans 15:5, may he grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. As part of our fellowship here together as God's people, part of our fellowship as an assembly here together, that we should together with one mind and one mouth glorify God. Glorify, extol that one. It's a reason why we say it so often when we're praying, when we're singing. When we are talking one with another, we want to glorify God. Oh, that the Lord would be glorified in my life. That's what we're looking for. To God be the glory, great things he hath done, so on and so forth. He is all of those things that we just said. He is our Redeemer and our strength. But he's also our God. And when I say that, that's two words that I'm saying intentionally. The first being that he's God, all of those things that I said, the Almighty, but that he's our God, collectively. He's ours. There's a possession that's there. I'll leave you out of it for the moment. He's my God. He is mine by virtue of my accepting him, but I must never forget that he's also mine by virtue of his offering himself to me. Likewise, he's our God because he has offered himself to us. Man, there are some pretty high and mighty folks out there that don't offer themselves to people that they should. Their own families and the like. There are people of low estate that don't offer themselves to the people that they are obligated to offer themselves to. And here is this Almighty God who has not obligated, well, he's not obligated to do anything with us outside of what he has obligated himself. And he has made himself our God. So, I want to glorify him for that. I want to give him my thanks. I want to give him my loyalty. I want to give him my glory. You were bought at a price. There's a reason. Therefore, glorify God, Paul says, 1 Corinthians 6:20, our text. Glorify him in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, if you want to do this, if you agree with me that this is what we're called to do, if you agree with Brother Paul that this is what we should indeed do, there's no shortage of opportunity to do it. Let me say it that way. No shortage of opportunity to extol and glorify and honor God. Some are more unpleasant than others, certainly. Peter tells us this in 1 Peter chapter 4. He talks to us about, glorifying God in persecution, glorifying God in suffering, glorifying God in the difficult things. 1 Peter 4 and verse 14, he speaks to us and says, "If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed," those ones who would reproach us, who would persecute us. On their part he's blasphemed. But on your part, he's extolled. He's honored. He's glorified. "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, and not just one who claims the things of Christ, but one who is akin to Christ, one who is demonstrative of who Christ is and who Christ is in them." That's the true definition of a Christian. Not just one who says, "I'm a Christian," but one who is of Christ. "If anyone suffers so, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God, extol God, honor God in this matter." Suffering's a part of it. It is. Suffering naturally. Suffering, emotionally, suffering in a lot of different ways. That's not really the point of our lesson tonight, but suffering is indeed a part of it. And we're blessed in that suffering. We can truly glorify God if we take those things that are brought to us, given to us, that we might fellowship in his sufferings and offer them to him to deal with them and strengthen us to deal with them as he sees fit. Now, that can even take us to the very end of suffering, right? John chapter 21 and verse 18. Another, perhaps, unpleasant context, but one that we can still glorify God in, and that is death, our death. In John chapter 21, you might recall that Jesus was speaking to Peter and speaking to him of the demise that was to come. He says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished." John 21 and verse 18. "But when you are old," he says to Peter, "you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. When he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Now many have imagined and taken tradition that's been crafted for Peter's death, and they've run with it. Whatever the specific details were in regards to the way that Peter died, whatever the specific cause was, whatever the specific mechanism that was used for him to die, whatever our specific mechanism will be, should the Lord tarry, we can honor God in it. We can glorify him in it by receiving that from his hand, accepting it from his hand, by not well, not putting ourselves in a situation that necessitated it in sin and carnality. Again, that's going in a different direction. But as we walk in this life of faith, when death is presented to us in and by the will of God, when we accept that from Him, look at it, recognize it for what it is, merely a transition, stepping out of this life and this consciousness into the consciousness and the presence of Jesus. If we look at it as that, look at it as being, well, better to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, how can that not be better? If it's laid hold of in the manner that the Lord would have us to. Nothing more and nothing less than that. Not fearing it any more than is absolutely necessary. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. If we approach it in that manner, we can indeed glorify God in it. We can honor Him and worship Him in that. Not always easy in the midst of the suffering, not always easy in the midst of the dying to glorify God, but we can and we should. Do you know what makes it easier to glorify God in those moments? Do you know what makes it easier to glorify God when the difficulties come, when the struggles come, and ultimately when death should present itself? Well, I would say it's practicing glorifying God in those times when the struggle isn't so present. When death is not... Anyone dying here tonight? Slowly, all of us are. I saw Marlene raise her hand. I thought she was teasing me for a second, but she was fixing her hair. No one's in the process of dying this very moment that is present here. And yet we have opportunity to glorify God, don't we? Suffering doesn't take place 24/7 typically. Typically, death is not amongst us in this moment. But we can glorify God in the present. Romans 15 and verse 5, as we start wrapping this up, I have a number of different passages for you. Very present circumstances we can glorify Him in. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That was our text passage. And again, here we are together, even now in this present place, that we can, together with our mouths and our one minds, glorify the God and Father of the Lord Jesus. We can, well, in a house of worship, simplest, purest form of worship is to fall on one's face. Fall on one's face before the Lord. That's what we essentially do here when we're kneeling down. Falling on our face before the Lord and opening up our mouth to speak His praise. Seeking His face, you might say, and telling it to His face just how wonderful He is. Telling it to His face just how much you do praise Him. Just how much you do adore Him. Just how much you do bring your worship to Him. In Revelation 22 and verse 8, this came out in a Sunday school lesson, if my memory serves me right, Revelation 22 and verse 8, John saw that revelation of Jesus, and then he mistook the messenger, one of the messengers that was given to show it to him, misunderstood him to be the Lord Himself. And how did John respond? Now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. You worship God, he says. You honor God. You glorify God. But John was ready when he thought the Son of God was present before him. He worshiped Him. Mistaken in understanding, but absolutely correct and appropriate in his actions, should it have been the Lord. The Mighty One, God the Lord, Psalm 50 in verse 1 says, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to its going down, Asaph says. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, is what the Lord says. He's spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to its going down, and this is what He says. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, extols, worships, lifts up, demonstrates their admiration, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. Saints, we don't need to always justify ourselves in what we do in this place, or at home, or whatever the case may be. People who have visited have asked me, why do you guys kneel down? Why do you gather up here together? We don't always have to justify those things, but I'll explain those things to whomever wants to hear it. But I trust you understand. It can be a real encouragement to be reinforced in what we do, to be reminded of why we do such things. And we do right when we gather together and we fall on our faces and kneel before the Lord. Because it's these times, in the midst of the not so difficult times, and perhaps you're suffering tonight, but perhaps it's just one of those days, just a typical day. And in the midst of these times that it's just a typical day, when death isn't at our doorstep, we prepare for such times. It's absolutely justified that we worship God, absolutely justified that we praise God, but it's absolutely justified that we practice glorifying Him in all circumstances so that we are ready in those times of difficulty. And when death comes, that we might glorify, that we might with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. As David said in Psalm 51:15, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. In Psalm 86:12, he says, I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore. Man, those are good words, not just to say, but to live and to bear out. May we always take advantage of every opportunity we have to extol and to worship and admire and glorify the name of God.